Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Acts chapter 27. We are entering a four-part series on the subject of encouragement called Give and Take, how to give it and how to receive it. It has been said that a person can live about a month without food, about several days without water, a few minutes without air, and not 1 second without hope. And hope is the center of encouragement. You can't encourage people if you don't give them hope. And what a wonderful testimony that was, just the people that she came across that encouraged Megan and what hope she was given. We're going to look at Acts chapter 27, and here's the setting. Here's the storyline in this situation. The Apostle Paul has been told by God that he is going to stand before Caesar in Rome and give witness, give testimony of the gospel. Paul, therefore, knows he's going to make it because he's been given this promise from God. Paul has also told us about the number of times he's been shipwrecked and spent the night in the ocean in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Most of this takes place around the Mediterranean Sea, the whole landmass here that we're talking about. And here's what happens. Paul is put under the command of a man named Julius, who's to see to it that he gets to Caesar. And they're getting on board a ship. And the owner of the ship and the captain of the ship and Julius and Paul, Paul's just one of a number of prisoners are on this ship. There's 276 men. Not all are prisoners, but some are. And Paul knows that he is going to make it to Rome. He understands that real clear. God has given him very clear revelation regarding that. Paul eventually comes to the owner of the ship and the captain and Julius, and he says, I got news for you. This is a bad time to set sail. We're going to run into some really severe weather. And he's probably operating from the fact that he's had some experience at sea before. And they get together, and they have this little huddle, the other three. They leave Paul out of it, and they come to the conclusion, we don't want to listen to Paul. We're going to set sail. And so they set sail. And they cruise for a while, and things are going pretty well until eventually they hit this horrible storm. And it looks like they're not going to make it. And for about 2 weeks, they're battling this thing, and the food is rotting, and people are sick, and there's a real problem at hand. But Paul still knows that he has got to get to the other shore. He knows he's going to make it. And eventually, an angel is going to appear before God and give him further revelation regarding the other men and the ship. So we're going to pick up the story. If you look down at verse 20, we'll read down to verse 26, and then we'll ask God's blessing on our time. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now I urge you to take heart, be of good courage, be encouraged. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, and believe God, that will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Lord, I thank you so much for the revelation that you give us of people's lives in Scripture that ran aground, that went through storms and difficulties, that lacked food, that had troublesome times, and yet there was somebody there to say, be of good courage, be of good cheer. And Lord, we want to be those types of people. And so today I pray, and over these next few weeks, we would learn what that looks like. So Father, now we'd ask that you'd bless our time, encourage our hearts in it. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can't really encourage anybody unless you give them some kind of hope. Interestingly enough, what we're going to see in this account here is that Paul is going to give temporary hope, temporal hope, but he also has the ability to give permanent, eternal hope. The temporal hope that we give in life gives us the platform to give eternal hope. Temporary hope might be something like this. Okay, you didn't make the team this year. You'll make it next year. I know it rained today. It's not going to rain every single day of your life. We'll play golf someday this week. All right. Okay, your grades are not doing too well. They'll pick up. Well, I never heard that, and that never actually happened. But at any rate, so you give people some kind of hope of something you are pretty sure is going to happen. All right. And that eventually, in many cases, gives you the opportunity, if the person is outside of Christ, to give them hope. All right? This is huge. This is huge. I wish I had heard Megan's testimony beforehand, because this plays beautifully into it. Look at the people that encouraged her, that came alongside of her and ministered to her, that gave her the opportunity to hear the gospel. This is what this is all about. We're going to see how God multiplies some of these situations and how beautiful they are. I want you to look down, and we're going to start working our way through this text. We're going to look at verse 20, start working our way through this. I happen to believe, my opinion, the scriptures talk so often about exhort one another daily while it is called today. In other words, encourage one another daily. The scriptures talk about be a comfort one to another. The Apostle Paul writes a lot about comforting others just as you have been comforted and so on. But I think ultimately, the comfort that we receive from God, I think our ultimate and greatest priority is to be a comfort, to be an encourager, and to give hope to a world that has no hope. In other words, to those that are around us, the platform that God has given us, of people that have yet to come to Christ. There may be some here today that have not come to Christ. It is up to us to give them temporary hope, to walk alongside them in some of the difficulties of life, and then to give them eternal hope. That's kind of what we're going to be looking at here. So sort of follow with me as we work our way through this text. Verse 20, it says this. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. All hope was gone. Now keep in mind, Paul has a couple of supreme advantages here. Number one, in the earlier part of the book of Acts, God comes to him and he says to him, you're going to stand before Caesar. And yet, when the angel comes to him, he says, fear not, Paul. He wouldn't have said that if Paul didn't have probably some kind of fear. Even people that are given divine and eternal promises like Abraham. You're going to be the father of a great nation. We've heard the story 1,000 times about how he still goes down into Egypt and he's afraid that he's going to get killed and so on. Well, nothing can happen to him. Nothing can happen to Paul. But Paul's human. We're all human. We go through certain things in life and sometimes it doesn't look like this thing's going to work out the way we thought. But Paul still has this supreme advantage. I think deep down he has this very strong inner confidence and he knows God's going to pull this thing together and he's going to make it to Rome. So he has that advantage. He also has the advantage of an angel eventually appearing to him and giving him more of the details. We're going to take a look at that as we walk through this. However, it doesn't mean that Paul is exempt from the storm itself. Paul is still going to experience the rotten food, the 14 days of hardship, seasickness, getting soaked, cold, all the different things that come with living in a world that is very broken. And the world by itself is just pretty negative in many respects. We want to put on a happy face. We want to be joyful. And we should be because we know what our eternal shore looks like. But the world itself just isn't a real happy place. Just pick up the newspaper every single day. There it is. More wars and rumors of wars and troubles and problems and so on everywhere. And then we've got our own problems. We've got job issues. We've got family issues. We've got a prodigal child. We've got this. We've got that. Health. All the different things that just come from living in this life. It's a troubled life. But I love the words of Jesus where Jesus says, in this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's an eternal hope. That's an eternal promise that is there. It's a great promise and it's a great truth. So here Paul is standing before these men and here it says that all the hope had gone. Look at verse 21. We read these words. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this loss and all this damage. Paul has already experienced, three times he's been shipwrecked according to 2 Corinthians. He has some experience here. So he comes before them and he says, you know, I don't think we ought to set sail. This is not a good time of the year to do that. They vote against him, they set sail, they run into trouble. I don't think that Paul is coming back and going, I told you so, I told you so. I don't think that's what he's doing here. I think what Paul is doing here is I think he is leveraging his personal wisdom and experience in the sea to say, I'm worthy to be listened to here. I want you to, I gave you some counsel. You didn't take it. Now, here's what's important. God places us in positions and he gives people around us that we can give wise counsel to, biblical counsel to. Now, this, of course, to some degree, Paul didn't have a weatherman telling him what was going on. It was a little bit of guesswork. He knew at that time of the year was a rough time. But God still used this to give him a platform because he really wanted to try to encourage these men not to do this. Now that they're in the midst of this mess, now he's got to encourage them in the midst of it. We are often given platforms in life where we might be at a business meeting in the business community or military, wherever we are, and we give people advice. We give them some counsel. They take the counsel, and many times God will use that to multiply that and show, give us a platform to give them greater counsel in a more spiritual sense. Sometimes people will deny our counsel, and many times God will so orchestrate it as to show that you should have listened to this person. That's exactly what has happened here. They should have listened to the Apostle Paul. The beauty is that in this particular context here, it demonstrates that it isn't just Paul. It's all people, all true believers, God has sovereignly placed in certain situations, in certain places, where there are people around them that they can encourage, they can give it wisdom to, they can give advice to. And so Paul, in this particular situation, was given that opportunity, and they did not heed what he had to say. Now, we look down, and we begin to see that this is true in many other people's lives, not just Paul's, when it says here, you should have listened. I look back and I see people that God used in the Old Testament. You remember the advice and the counsel that Joseph gave in the Old Testament about storing up the grain, 20% of the grain. And then Pharaoh goes, "Boy, this is a wise young man. Here he is. He's sitting in this place." Here we find Daniel giving counsel. We find Daniel is now at the top of the kingdom. And now we find the same thing here with the Apostle Paul. Paul the prisoner is now Paul, the captain of the ship. He's the pilot now. He's the one they're going to listen to. He's the one that they didn't listen to, that now they are going to listen to. What you're seeing here is God showing how he works behind the scenes. He takes believers that have the gospel. They live a particular life in front of a lost world, and then God starts giving them a platform. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. The next thing you know, it says that God brought him into tender favor with a key person in the political arena in Babylon. And this is a consistent thing we see all throughout the scriptures. Let's read on here. We read this. Got a little problem back there. If somebody could fix that, Jason. We read this in verse 22. "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship." Only the ship. Now, here's how he knows this. He's making this, he's given this statement, he's given this counsel, and he's able to state, "Let me tell you how I know this. I know this because the God that I serve has told me this through an angel." So he's now giving the counsel, and then he's going to tell them how he knows about this. And I know some of you are thinking, but God doesn't do that with us. God doesn't send us an angel. Truth of the matter is, God has given us his word, which gives us the counsel to give other people. All right, that's all Paul is doing. He's simply taking the word of God that he was given direct revelation to and giving it. Yes, it was more specific than we might be given on certain situations, but the principle is still there. Now look at what happens. Verse 23, it says this. It says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve." Clear word here, meaning I'm obedient to this God. And this tells us sort of why he's put in this particular place. So he says, he serves this God. Then he says in verse 24, the angel said this, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must go. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. He's saying, take courage. Don't worry. I've given you counsel before. You didn't listen to it. Now I'm giving you counsel again, and I want you to be encouraged with what I have to say. There's going to be no loss of life. Here's how I know this. There's an angel of God that spoke to me, but it's the God to whom I belong. Here's his witness here. Now he has the platform. Now it's no longer just giving them temporary temporal advice. He's now talking about his God that he believes in, that is speaking to him, that says, you belong to me. It's the God that I serve. And he says, everybody's going to make it. Now, I tell you what I find really, really interesting in this particular text. What I find interesting is, and has granted all those who sail with you. When we go about giving temporary counsel, mundane counsel, just counsel in the world, helping people through their life, their marriage, their raising their kids, whatever. When we're helping them do that, people, particularly those that are outside of the kingdom, and when we do that, God winds up bringing us into this position, this place. But the key word here is that he's a servant of God. And this is our calling to the world. Our calling to the world is that we are a servant of God, and this God that we serve has told us to be an encouragement to the world that is very discouraged. I can tell you right now, I do not care what kind of a face somebody puts on. I realize it when somebody says, hey, Mike, how you doing? Fine. I say that even if things aren't fine. I realize that's just a diplomatic, normal, standard term. It doesn't mean I want to stop and go, you really want to know? Let me tell you how bad life's been this past week. I'm not going to do that. So we have that. But if a person really does say, I'm fine, things are great, you know, all is well and good, the truth is, it can't be all well and good, because I happen to know from Scripture that this world is broken. This world is not all well and good. And anybody that's lived any length of time knows that, all right? So we are given the platform, the opportunity to minister, to probe, to care, to encourage all those that are around us. Now notice what happens here. Look at verses 23 and 24. Well, yeah, 23. He says, when he goes through this, then in 24, he talks about how the angel of the Lord has done this for him. And we will say to ourselves, we'll say, but no angel has ever actually spoken to me. To which I again would say, we have the written word of God that gives us wisdom in areas of finance, child rearing, marriage, all kinds of things that we can present to the world, even if we don't mention where it came from. Even if we don't say, oh, this is the Bible that speaks. We work our way in. We earn the right to be heard, so to speak. Unless you have just one opportunity to talk to a person, but many times it's just people that you're around. So here Paul is simply giving the word of God out. Now, I'd mentioned about Lee Goodnight's condition. On Friday, Lee was sitting with her oncologist, with her husband Paul, and I asked Paul later, after Paul called me to tell me what had happened, and I said, how's Lee doing with this news? And he said, well, it gave her an opportunity to give the gospel to her oncologist. Rather than thinking of herself, she started thinking, I'm not the one that's ill. I'm actually fine. I'm physically ill, but I'm fine otherwise. Hey, doc, how are you doing? Let me talk to you about another illness. He gives her bad news. She gives him good news. The doctor looked at Paul and said, how are you all getting through this? Paul says, God never promised us that this life would be easy. So they had a chance to minister. Even in difficult storms of life, God gives us platforms. He gives us opportunities to talk about another value, another eternal issue here, not just something that is temporal, not just something that's getting us through the day. When I think of Megan's testimony, I think of people all around us. I remember thinking of how God takes the encouragement of people, believers, to an unbeliever, and then literally anoints that. He blesses it, and then he multiplies it. About 10 years ago, we were over at the other campus, and there was a lady sitting on the front row, and after one of the services, it was in between services, she grabs me and she says, I got a major issue, and I really need to talk to you. And I told her, I said, well, just call my assistant Jackie, and she'll set up a time. She goes, no, I need to talk to you right now. And I don't mind giving somebody a little bit of advice in between services, but I don't have time to go into a whole counseling session. So I said, yeah, just call Jackie. She goes, no, we need to talk right now. She said, you see, I'm an atheist. And I said, yeah, we do need to talk. Sit down. I said, what are you doing here? And here's the story she told me. She said, I'm going through a very, very difficult time. My husband left. I've had some financial problems. And there's some people in your church that have come alongside me, and they're walking me through this. And I decided to come and figure out what is going on here. And I sat down with her and I said, I don't believe you're an atheist. I think you're just real confused. And in about 5 minutes, she burst into tears. She trusted the Lord. She prayed right there. She went back to the bookstore and practically cleaned that thing out. She bought everything there was. She called her mom. She gave her mom the gospel. She mailed books to her mother. She moved about 2 or 3 weeks later. And just before she left, she walked up to me and she says, oh, man, I just can't thank you enough. And she moved, I think, to South Carolina and stayed in contact a little bit. Haven't heard from her in a long while. But in those early stages, I had to piece all that together. And I went back and went, wait a minute. You're an atheist, and there's some people in our church that came alongside you. That's what encourage means. To exhort means to come alongside of. This idea of courage, exhort, comfort, came alongside. And then God raised up another platform so that you'd be interested in hearing more about why those people operate the way they do. Amazing. Though I don't have time to get into the depths of this particular story, some of the men that were at our Fuel last Tuesday, our men's gathering on Tuesday mornings, Jamie Winship spoke, and many of you have heard of Jamie as a special ministry to Muslims, and he goes to all kinds of places. But I'm just going to really condense this real quick. But a friend of Jamie's was in Seattle, and his friend, while he was in Seattle, comes across a homeless guy. And for whatever reason, he just wants to go over and talk to this homeless guy and just kind of pray with him and minister to him any way he can. And his friend comes back, and his friend just starts, this heaviness comes over him, literally in a dream, about this homeless guy. And he tells Jamie, and Jamie goes, man, I think God's putting under your heart to go out there. And he said, yeah, but God also put in my heart for you to come with me. So Jamie says, this thing's getting real expensive. So Jamie flies out there with him, and they're looking for this guy all over Seattle, a homeless guy. There's lots of homeless people. And people, you're asking everywhere in street corners. Eventually, they find somebody that knows where this guy is, and they find this guy. Jamie says, I want to hear your story. Tell me your story. How'd you wind up in this situation? He goes, oh, Katrina hit, and all these problems happened, and I had other problems before that. I haven't seen my family in years, and I have 10 children. Haven't seen them in years. I left my wife. I'm a terrible person, and so on. And Jamie sat there and just encouraged him and said, hey, we're going to have a party. We're going to get all of your kids together and your wife, and you're going to fly back to New Orleans, and we're going to, you're going to stand up and ask forgiveness from your family. And this guy said, I don't even know where my children are. They're scattered all over the place. Jamie said, we'll find them. You know Jamie. He found them. All 10 of them. And all 10 said, we are excited to see our dad. We're all coming. And his wife's coming. And they're going to have a big party in June. You talk about taking something as small as, hey, how'd you wind up here, to that? That's God multiplying things. But I'll tell you, what I think Jamie does really well is that I think his radar is always up. I think he's always thinking in terms of, gee, I wonder if that's a divine appointment. I wonder if that's just some sort of happenstance, accidents, coincidence, or does God literally bring things together here? See, what is interesting in this particular text in verse 24, it says, and God has granted you all those who sail with you. I don't necessarily think he means that all of these people eventually came to Christ. Certainly, I believe many of them probably did because Paul always preached the gospel. But the interesting thing here is it's just that idea. It's the idea that, hey, Paul, I'm going to spare all these people so that they can hear from you. I'm going to spare them all. You're going to have this opportunity to say, my God, the one that I belong to, the one that I serve, he's the one that's delivering us. And I can't help but ask the question when I look at that, I wonder who God has given me. In my surroundings and where I go and the places that I frequent and the people that I bump into on a regular basis in the neighborhood or wherever, I wonder if that's my ship. I wonder if those are the people that God has given me. And you've got to ask yourself the same question. Where's your platform? Who are the people that God has brought into your life, that He has placed you in a workplace, He's placed you on a sports team, He's placed you in some club or whatever, where you are the one that God has placed there to be an encouragement to every single person that's around you? Because everybody is discouraged to some degree just living in this world. There's no possible way you could not be. And so we continue to read on of all these people that have no hope. Look at verses 25 and 26. Therefore, take heart, be of good courage, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Here again, he's now talking about we're all going to make it to this shore. Everything's going to work out. We're going to get there, all right? Be of good courage. I'm wondering how many of these men really listened to Paul and thought, oh, sure, sure, angels all the time just appear to people. And, yep, sure, these guys, you can be sure, were still very frightened. But it has given Paul the platform. It's given him the opportunity to talk about his God. When Daniel had to appear before Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel said, my God is the one who interprets dreams. When Joseph was with the prisoners, he said, my God is the one who interprets dreams. When he stands before Pharaoh, it's my God. You see the testimony. You see Nehemiah when the wall has been rebuilt. That those around him said, how could this possibly be unless it was done by his God? Why does God continue to show us all throughout Scripture believers that are in captivity, believers that are in prison, believers that are in storms, believers that are going through difficulties of life, that they're the ones that wind up being an encouragement to those on the outside of the kingdom, so to speak? And then you see what God does with that. See, I think we just kind of go to work and just do our thing and we think we're just getting a paycheck. What else is there to this? When God is saying, wait a minute, that's your ship and you're the captain because I said so. You might think you're the prisoner there, but you're the captain. You're the guy that's going to run the show, but you have to be a servant of mine and you've got to realize this and you've got to be aware of it and the radar's got to be up. You got to be seeing all the different people around you. These are divine appointments. And they're every single day. They're all around us. And I think just sometimes we do not take advantage of those things. So take good courage. Now, they move on. They take a sounding to figure out how deep the water is. And they realize it's getting shallower and shallower. And they begin to realize we must be coming near land. And things, the ship's probably going to break up. Let's look down, if we would, at verse 30. And it says this. As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, they cannot be saved. Not spiritual salvation, but physical. How could that be? God has already said everybody's going to be saved. And yet he turns to human responsibility and says, you better stay in it or you won't. There's the sovereignty of God and human responsibility. And when you solve that one, let me know. I'll write the book and make the millions. Here we go. Verse 32. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes and the skiff and let it fall. As the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continue without food and eating nothing. Wait a minute. Who's running the show here? Where's the captain? Where's everybody else? Paul is now the one that's talking about, you really need some nourishment. He's talking simply about just mundane things. He's trying to encourage them in just this. Verse 34, therefore I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from your head from any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged. And 276 persons were on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw over the wheat into the sea. They make it to shore and land, and the ship breaks up. The men are spared. Now, he prays before them all. Now, there's no statement that says that Paul stood before all of them and preached the gospel. A miracle takes place on land. But we know that Paul preached the gospel every single place he went. Everywhere. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In Philippians, in the book of Philippians, as he's writing out of a prison, he says, guess what? I've had a chance to witness to all the guards. He's another, a little bit later on, it talks about the Philippian jailer coming in. Oh, what must I do to be saved? Because Paul was singing hymns. He and Silas were singing hymns in the prisons. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, is what he's saying. These men all heard about Christ. They probably heard about it all day long. How would you like to be chained to the Apostle Paul? As you had to travel with that guy, you can be sure that witness was everywhere. But he starts out slow. He starts out slow. I don't think we ought to take this trip. I told you we shouldn't have taken this trip. But guess what? The God in whom I serve and whom I belong to has said we're all going to make it. Hey, don't jump overboard or you'll die. But you can't die because God says we're all going to make it. I want you to take some food because you need some nourishment and some encouragement. Let me pray to my God. And they're all encouraged. All right? God has placed every single believer in this world amongst some people. There's some connection somewhere. Prison, a hospital, a football team, the office. There's some place where you are connected with other people. Now, if I were to take this whole text here and sort of distill it down, I think I might say this. Paul served God, and that's what gave him the platform. That's how he was brought into favor with the people, because Paul served God. As we're obedient to God, as we serve God, he gives us the platform. If you're just sort of getting through life and you know you're going to heaven someday and you're just sort of biding your time, that's not serving God. And thus you may never have a real platform. But God gives platforms to people that serve God. Paul the prisoner became Paul the captain. The real true believer in any situation ultimately is the captain. He may not be calling out all the orders. He may not be doing every single thing that Paul was doing here. But he has been given wisdom from Scripture. And as he serves and touches others, God has a way of multiplying that, of anointing that, of blessing that, so that other people hear and eventually have the platform to hear the gospel. Thirdly, you've heard me say this many times. I heard it years ago at a conference. The power of influence is greater than the power of position. I don't want to go down this path, believe me. Maybe some other time, not right now. But when our president made his big announcement this past week about his stand on gay marriage, remember who he said influenced him? His daughters and his wife. The power of influence is greater than the power of position. It's huge. It's enormous. Enormous. Another time on that one. Temporal encouragement leads to eternal encouragement. Temporal encouragement leads to eternal encouragement. As you come along people in your setting, wherever you are, and you have an opportunity, and you hear of something discouraging that is taking place in their life, when you hear that, that's the opportunity. Oh, did Joe lost his mother? Oh, I think I'll send him a card. I think I'll stop by his cubicle and just walk in and say, hey, man, sorry to hear about that. What can I do for you in this situation? How can I help walk you through that? I had a young lady in our street, some neighbors of ours that I know a little bit, not terribly well, but their daughter, I'd heard their daughter was sick, had pneumonia. She was about 14. She was in the hospital. And not as a pastor, just as a neighbor, as a Christian, I went over and visited. They were stunned. They just stunned that I walked into this hospital room. Hey, I'm here. I just want to encourage you. and I don't know where God will take that, what that will do, what will happen. But God does those things in all kinds of areas where we have opportunities, where the radar is up and we're listening, we're thinking, how can I walk this person through the difficulty they're going through? What can I do as a believer to come alongside? That's what encouragement means, exhort, come alongside. How can I do this in a very practical way? Hey, can I make meals for you? I understand your wife's ill or whatever. What is it? All those things, God has an ability to multiply and give you a later platform in which to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Temporal encouragement leads to eternal encouragement. And again, God will multiply that type of encouragement. In about 3.5 weeks, a bunch of us take off again for the Amazon. And the Amazon right now is as high as I think it is, record high. I don't know what causes this. It's the snows melting up in Peru or someplace, but it is flooding. I keep getting reports from some of the pastors that I've down there to have conferences with. Their people are starving. There's no food. Alligators are coming in. Animals are coming inside their homes at night. It's a frightening situation. A bunch of us are going down. We're trying to send food down there now, and just a whole bunch of stuff taking place. We've got a lot before us. But you know, when you come to a place like that, and you can just walk alongside, many are believers. Most are that I have a chance to stay in contact with in some of these villages, but many aren't. And you've got both going on there. You got people that know they're going to get to the eternal shore, but you also have people you need to just help out on just a daily basis, to walk them to the place where you have the platform and the privilege to preach the gospel. And so, whether it's the Amazon or whether it's here, wherever it is, you have that opportunity. That opportunity is there. And God has a way of multiplying opportunities. He has a way of blessing those things when we take advantage of them. And so I would ask you this. When I look at the statement where it says, and God has given you all these men on this ship, I've got to ask myself, you have to ask yourself, and who has God given us? Who has God given us? Who do you know that is outside of the kingdom, that your life, your wisdom, your presence, your encouragement will give you a platform someday to present the gospel of Jesus Christ? I think that's an important question to be answered. And I think we need to go into the highways and the byways and touch the lives of people. Guilford Elementary, people all around the area, all of our food bank, going overseas, whatever it happens to be. People everywhere, because this world is very, very broken. And some of you in a crowd this big and next group that will be coming in after this, I have to believe that some of you are broken, and you know what it's broken, what it feels like to be broken, and have not only no hope now, but no hope for eternity. And Paul said, I'm giving people the ultimate hope. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised us before the world began. See, the word hope there means a glorious anticipation. It's not like I just hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. It's the absolute confidence that God has given eternal life to those who believe, to those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. And if you've come in today and you're still wrestling through this Christian thing, I encourage you, I exhort you to call upon Christ to save your soul by admitting that you're a sinner, just like I am, and that Christ has come and died and paid for your sin as he's paid for mine, and that when you believe and put your hope, your confidence in him and him alone, that he will give you everlasting life. He'll take you out of the kingdom of darkness and place you into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and you will be able to say, when I die, I know for certain I'm going to the other shore. Just like Paul knew full well he was going to make it to Rome, he knew full well he was going to make it way beyond Rome to another shore. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Let's pray. Before Almighty God, if you've come in today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot think of anything stronger to encourage you, to come alongside you with, and to help you understand your desperate need and your desperate plight. Because those without Christ are without hope in this world and without hope in the next world. And I would pray that today would be the day that you would call upon the Lord Jesus, just as Megan said that she did in her testimony when she heard the gospel and believed and passed from death unto life. And it will change your life. It will give you real, genuine hope. Father, I would pray for the genuine believers that are here, that all of us would ask the question, what's the community? What's the platform? Where's the place that God has placed me to be an encouragement every day in just temporary issues that I might eventually have the platform to talk about eternal matters? May we pray that in earnest. Father, we ask now that you'd bless this day, the mothers and all that are around us in this very, very special day. And Lord, it's always our desire to see that you'd be the one to receive the glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.